Welcome back to another episode of Moms Unbothered. I'm Kate and this is Jordan, and we have a very special guest today. You guys probably recognize her. It's Health Illy, and she is one of our favorite accounts to follow. So will you just go ahead and give an intro and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I'm so excited to be here. Okay, I'm Illy, also known as Health Illy on all social media platforms. I'm the founder and CEO of Live Healthily, which is my online marketplace for all things clean and low tox. And I've been doing the health and wellness thing for about 5 years now.
That is awesome. So like, what got you started on your journey for in this space? And like, how did you live your life before you were healthily?
Oh my God. Like, I've been eating anything that I shouldn't be eating, I was eating. So I really grew up in a household of like no food rules, you know? So I was never spoken to about like food and how it should be or shouldn't be. Like, I definitely did not have an almond mom or a crunchy mom. I have, you know, my dad's an immigrant, so all food is like a blessing, you know, which I still feel that way to this day, but they just didn't know. So yeah, I grew up on Velveeta mac and cheese and Dino chicken nuggets and Lunchables and like all those ready to eat meals. So yeah, I grew up with like everything in moderation kind of mindset. So eventually that just kind of, you know, caught up with me. But once I kind of went into a fitness craze when I became 20. So that was like 10 years ago. And yeah, that's kind of what by accident threw me into the holistic space, because I always just thought counting your calories, counting your macros, taking the fitness supplements and looking really fit would make you healthier. Like, that's always what I thought health was, you know, the skinny people that you saw everywhere else. So yeah, that's kind of how I eventually started to track my macros and get into supplementation, because I never really did any of that before. I've always been a fairly skinny person. Like, I was kind of like born that way. That's just how my body type is. I'm 5'3", so I'm just like a tiny girl. But yeah, so I got into fitness, got into bodybuilding. I was the fittest that I ever was physically, because I was really just on point with my training and my calories were on point and my macros were on point. And then I would just, you know, like anybody else, you'd have your kind of like cheat days, like Saturday, and you would cheat and have, you know, diner food, and you're like, it's not a big deal because I still look really good. And eventually, only took me like 2 or 3 years before I started kind of seeing the negative effects of that. So I started getting really bad hormonal acne all over my jaw. I got really bloated after every meal. I felt like even water would bloat me. My hair was just like brittle and not great. I was getting like dermatitis on my scalp. I had eczema on my face to the point where like I couldn't even put on makeup because I would peel it off. Like, it was horrendous. And that kind of spread to like the rest of my body. I had no idea what was happening. I used to get chronic migraines, and yeah, anything that you could think of that was happening to me was happening to me. So of course, when I went to the doctor, I was just gaslit, because they're like, well, you're so fit, you know, this is just normal. You're a young adult. I was like 23 at the time. So yeah, I was really, really confused. And then when nobody's listening to you and they just want to put you on all this medication, you're like, okay, there has to be a better way. And that's kind of how I got into holistic health, because I realized that a lot of the things that I was consuming and the way that I was living my life, being really into my fitness and consuming, you know, garbage supplements and food whenever I felt like it, was damaging my health. I was really nutrient depleted and my hormones were all over the place. And once I kind of did my research on that, I was sharing it, and then people were like, holy shit, me too. And then it's kind of just been that from since then. That's been like 5 years ago.
I feel like we like all have the same origin story, which is cool because we can all relate, but it's like sad that we all can relate that no one helped us and we had to do it ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. Because I'm like, I'm no freaking professional. Like, you guys are supposed to tell me what's wrong with me. Like, why am I figuring out? I'm like in my room, like with test tubes, like trying to figure out, like testing my own urine. Like, oh my God, you know, like, it's, why am I doing this? I'm like, I'm just a girl. Like, why do I have to do all of these things to figure out what the frick is wrong with me? Like, it was, yeah, it feels so ridiculous looking back at it. But I'm sure we all see it with our platform. Like, people just don't know. And then you don't know who to trust because you're like, well, if I can't trust my doctor, and then the doctors on Instagram are telling us not to trust the influencers. It's like, so who is out there, you know?
And there, yeah, there's so much information too. It's hard to like sift through it all and figure out what to do for sure.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel.
And it's like, nobody is just waking up one day and being like, yeah, I'm going against the grain. Like, screw everything I thought. Like, it's just like, we didn't choose to do this. We were literally forced to do this. And people think like we get on our high horse and are just like, oh, we're so much better. Like, we know more than the doctors. But it's like, no, we were forced to do our own research because nobody knew what the hell was going on with us. And like, it's not like we decided to commit all our, you know, 20s to being chronically sick and then like figuring out the answers. Just like, we were forced to do it. And I think people don't understand that. Like, we didn't choose to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. I think about that all the time where I'm like, do you think I wanted to spend 3 hours in the supermarket reading every single ingredient label or else I'm going to be chronically bloated? Like, you think that's what I choose to do? No, this is the life that now I have to live this way because nobody else taught me. You think my doctor, I remember my gynecologist, you know how they do like the physical exam on you? And I'm literally coming in. I have no period for 6 months at all. She wants to put me back on birth control. She literally goes, feels around in my stomach. And obviously I'm like working out heavily at that point. So I have like rock hard abs. She goes, well, you have abs. I don't see what the issue is. I'm like, girl, let's be so for real right now because I literally do not have a cycle. So the abs are clearly not helping me in any way, shape, or form. It gets really like, I could cosplay a doctor at this point.
Right.
Like, just watching me. If that's what it takes to just be like, well, you have abs, you have no issues, no problems. Like, what are we talking about here? Like, it feels. And then, you know, you have the credentialists that are like, what are your credentials? And I'm like, well, the people with the credentials don't know what's going on. So who do I go to? And I think we're in a time right now where everybody feels that way, where nobody knows what to do and nobody knows who to go to. And yeah, this is where we get those issues where there definitely is misinformation in the wellness space. And we just have to put, I feel like, the power back into ourselves of like, what actually makes sense, you know?
Yeah, 100%. And going back to what you were saying about your doctor, like not understanding, like people are always like, oh, is your degree in Google? And I'm like, dude, I know you've gone to the doctor's office and they have literally Googled your symptoms to look up like what I'm doing the same thing they're doing. Like, it's just crazy that people think that like, if you don't have credentials behind your name, you don't have a valid platform.
That you can't even read labels without a credential. Like, you can't read the back of a cereal box without a degree from a medical facility.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember my dad went in for migraines and they literally just gave him a printed sheet of food to eat and food not to eat. And I'm like, you guys want to talk to me about not Googling things? Like, this is they probably have a stack of 500 papers that they mass produce that just sit next to their desk and they're like, oh, you have migraines? And then they sift through a file that says like migraines, bloating, whatever. And they just file through and like, okay, here's your paper. Goodbye. They probably don't even know what's written on the paper. That's literally, and on the paper was things with artificial dyes. They were telling my dad to eat Jell-O and Velveeta mac and cheese. I literally have the paper. I should send it to you guys. But I'm like, this is the people who aren't using Google supposedly. Like, this is what we're talking about here. That's crazy. This was like a couple of years ago too.
That is insane. So on your health journey, do you feel like you have like lost friends or maybe had a lack of support from like family and friends because you made such a massive switch? Cause like you went like holistic and then you started your own business and like, was everyone rooting for you or did you have people who were like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I think it was at first. Not a lot of people supported me in my journey. I just think that we're so used to downplaying our symptoms in the United States, especially where if you are bloated or your hair is falling out or your periods are wonky, it's like, okay, yeah, same as me, dude. Like, that's just how everybody thinks about it. So when you decide that that isn't normal and that's not the way that you want to live, people get really confused about it because we're like, well, we all feel this way. So what do you mean you're going to fix it? Like, how does that make sense? So I think there was a lot of pushback, especially when the beginning of my journey, I had to be way stricter about the foods and the things that I was using. So I would say no to a lot of people, like to their face, like, hey, do you want to try my dessert? I'm like, no, sorry. Or, you know, like, hey, do you want to go out to dinner here? I'm like, no, sorry, can't do that. You know, because I was really trying to figure out like what was the best diet and lifestyle for me, and had so much inflammation, you kind of have to work backwards. So yeah, I think definitely at the beginning, it was way harder to navigate and deal with, you know, the lack of support that people mm-hmm. give you. And then, you know, once you kind of start to make it and people are like, oh, and she started her business, and then the business actually starts doing well, and then your page actually starts to gain traction, all of a sudden people are like, oh yeah, like I always knew that that was the case. Like, no, you didn't. No, you freaking didn't, you know? So, you know, I just take it with a grain of salt, because I understand that, you know, when you're living in it and everyone's telling you that it's normal, that's just the mindset that you're in, you know, and it takes a lot of discipline and self-accountability to get to a point where you're like, I need to change this. Like it's everything isn't good in moderation, you know, and people want to have their cake and eat it too. And unfortunately, when it comes to your health, I wish that was the case, but it's just simply not. You have to make sacrifices and you have to be disciplined, and not everybody is at that place yet. And many people may never get to that place, you know, so you just have to take it like, you know, a little nudge on the chin and just keep it moving. Cause it's like, I'm on this journey for me, not for anybody else. Yeah,
so true.
Yeah. We talk about that a lot. Like America just wants quick fixes, like instant results. And that's just not ever going to be the case with health. Like you can sure maybe mask your symptoms, you know, with birth control or whatever, but that's not fixing it. And so, yeah, it's hard to say those no's and like do the work, but it's so worth it.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like I'm at a place where I can't even fathom the lifestyle that I had before. It's just, you feel so much better. And I know when you're on the other side, like the side that we've all been on, you can't, like you would look at somebody like us and think, wow, that's so extreme. I would be so miserable. But it is a gradual change if you do it the right way. And it doesn't feel like, to this point now, it feels like such a natural part of my life. Like I don't think twice going to the supermarket and, you know, picking up certain things or reading certain labels. And I don't think twice about, you know, consuming healthier products. Like it's such a part of my life now, but I can understand people who, yeah, they're drinking diet sodas every single day. And they're like, that's my moderation. And then they're having ice cream every night. And then they're having, you know, all the crappy, you know, Bloom's powders and Greens powders and everything that you could think of that's trying to cure their health and cure their gut. And then they look at us, we're just trying to eat well. They think that that's extreme. So it's just from looking at it from like over the hedge, essentially, it looks like such a unrealistic lifestyle, but that's usually coming from people who aren't truly living it. And honestly, they're privileged enough that they don't have to live with a chronic illness where they do have to, you know, watch what they eat and be careful about the ingredients and toxins in their skincare and all their other items. You know, like this is the life that I have to live. And I've really come to enjoy it, honestly. I ain't going back.
No, I feel like people are always like, oh, that's so sad you live that way. I'm like, I feel great. I'm like the best version of myself right now. Like, no regrets for me. Thank you.
Yeah. Also, when you said in regards to like people, like it's a privilege to not feel chronically sick by eating the crap. Like, I feel the same way when I was like more public about like, okay, I'm not giving my kid shots anymore because he had a reaction. And like people's same reactions, like, that's not true. Like you can't have adverse reactions to these shots. And I'm like, what a privilege you have, because your child did not have a physical reaction. Although I know something on the internally is absolutely going on, because nobody is getting a free pass with these shots on a cellular level. But I'm just like, how privileged it is for you to stand on your high horse and tell me that my child isn't having an adverse reaction to something. It's just like, until you have lived it, you don't get it. You don't understand.
Yeah. I mean, this is something I've never like said publicly, because I know how controversial stuff like that is and how nuanced it is. But for me, last year or 2 years ago, I had a mineral analysis, and, you know, back when I was a kid, you know, the vaccine schedule is completely different than what it is today, you know? So I always ask my mom, I'm like, what vaccines did I actually get? And she's like, I don't know. Like, I didn't even get the flu vaccine, which like now they, you know, make sure that children are getting that. So I didn't even get that as a kid. I've never really been like a chronically sick child. I don't think I've actually even had the flu. But the last vaccine that I ever got was like 10, 13 years ago-ish. And it was the HPV because everyone had to get it for college. And I just didn't know anything back then. I'm like 18 years old. Like, I don't know anything. So I got those and I recently did a mineral analysis and I still had those metals in my body, which was insane to think about because it's not something I thought about when I was doing my HTMA. I just wanted to see, you know, like what my minerals were doing. And I had heavy metal toxicity still in my body that I had to detox from something that I had 13 years ago unknowingly. And I was never told that that's a possibility because there is, I mean, there's no conversation. You go and you get it, you leave. There's no disclaimer. There's no warning. There's no informed consent around it. I mean, back then, if I have, would have known, would I have changed my mind? I don't know. I was 18 years old, right? Like, I probably would have just been like, okay, the pros outweigh the cons and go. But I think it's the lack of informed consent. And I was really just shocked that that was still in my body so many years later, you know, like to be, what I was like 28 at the time when I got my first HTMA. And I'm like, oh my, she's like, have you ever gotten vaccinated? Because these are the exact like heavy metals that are found in those. And I was so shocked because you're not told any of that. So I was really curious to see how that was maybe still affecting me or if it wasn't, you know, but it's just interesting to see how it does last. And I think because people aren't doing this type of functional testing, they don't truly know the extent to which all these things that they're using, not just, you know, shots, but everything from the products that you use in the foods that you eat, like how it's actually affecting you. If you're only doing blood work, it's like looking at your health through a straw. You don't really know what's really going on in your tissue, in your hair, in your urine, in your gut, in your brain, you know? So because these types of testing aren't part of, you know, your annual checkup, people just go on their health based on how they look and, you know, physical symptoms like, oh, okay, I don't have acne, so these toxic products aren't affecting me, or, oh, I don't really get bloated, so my gut health must be perfect, you know? We just don't, like, people just really don't know. So, like, to your point, just because their child or themselves, I didn't have any physical reactions that I knew of, but they were lingering in my body. So it's easy for someone who doesn't have like a physical reaction to something to be like, oh, it's safe and it's fine. We just literally don't know. And this goes across the board from the food that we eat, the water that we drink, the, you know, products that we use, literally everything.
Yeah, I don't think people realize that it's everything we do on our day to day. It's not just eating healthy and it's not just drinking clean. It's everything we're consuming. And another aspect that this goes into is fertility. And you've recently started sharing about your fertility journey. And I know a lot of women are able to relate to you on this. So do you want to share a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's been the craziest like part of health, because there's like no research on like just anything, preconception, pregnancy, or postpartum. Like, we're all just told like, just deal with it. Like, this is what women go through. And when I made the conscious decision that I wanted to prepare my body to eventually get pregnant, there was like no research on what to even do. It's pretty much like take a prenatal and do it every day. Like, and even going into my OBGYN, that's like pretty much their advice. It's like, oh, just keep doing it. Just keep trying. And there is just so limited into like, okay, how do we optimize everything? And we only really started actively trying this year. We've been married for 2 years. And of course you look at people who get, you know, pretty much they get pregnant on the first instant. And, you know, that hasn't really been the situation for us thus far. You know, it's been a couple of months, so we're still technically like on the early side. But because I'm just so into the research and why things happen the way that they happen, you know, I've been able to make, you know, kind of my own deductions onto why things take a little bit longer for some people versus, you know, people who are maybe unhealthier and it seems like they get pregnant so easily. And, you know, it really made me come to the conclusion that, you know, pregnancy is not a health marker. You know, we have people who are homeless on the street that have zero nutrition that get pregnant. You know, we have people who are addicted to drugs that are alcoholics that get pregnant. So if it was as simple as just being healthy, then we would see actually crazy rates of infertility. I mean, obviously we're starting to see that, but if technically by definition, 12% of Americans are metabolically healthy, which is one factor of health, then that means only 12% of Americans would be able to get pregnant. And that's just simply not the case. So I think we just look at women, especially in the wellness space, if they don't get pregnant immediately, it means something must be wrong with them. But we don't think about women who are metabolically unhealthy, obese, drinking alcohol, treating their bodies poorly with the foods that they eat, in abusive relationships. That's the highest stress that you can really encounter. Or they're living in poverty, which is also very stressful, or they're addicted to drugs. We never look at them when they get pregnant so easily and think, what's wrong with them? We don't think any of those things, but we only think that for women who are struggling or it's taking a little bit longer. So for me, sharing more about my journey, even though it's not, you know, butterflies and rainbows that I would like it to be, it is giving, I think, a little bit more insight and asking people to kind of like scratch their heads a little bit more about what actually goes into fertility and preconception health. Because yeah, it's not easy for everybody. And if it's not a health marker, then what is it, you know?
For sure. I like in me, I got pregnant in college. I was so unhealthy, drinking beer 5 days a week. Like I was the epitome of not health. But like Jordan has shared, like Jordan to me is the epitome of health. Like she has her shit together so much, but she has shared too. Like it took you what, 7 months or?
Yeah. So it was 3 months and then I had a miscarriage and then it was another 7 months after that. And I was doing everything, and it is so hard when you're in it. It feels like every cycle that starts over is like, it's another lifetime. Like it's never going to happen, you know, and everybody's getting health, like everybody's unhealthy and unhealthy around you getting pregnant easily. Yeah. We don't really know everybody's story, I guess, but yeah, it's not butterflies and rainbows. You're right.
Yeah. It's definitely not black and
yeah,
white.
Yeah. It's really hard. Know? Yeah. And for me, I've really been kind of looking into what this phenomenon might be of why women who are unhealthy, right? And this isn't like a shaming way. Like I said, Kate, like you're like, I was drinking every single day, right? Like I'm just going to use unhealthy in a very lenient tense. Like, let's just say unhealthy just means that, you know, you're either metabolically unhealthy, you're overweight, maybe you have, you know, and metabolic is also like, what's your blood sugar, insulin resistance, etc. Like you're not somebody who's actively working on their health. Like maybe you got pregnant by accident or whatever. Versus people who are, you know, doing the functional testing, removing toxins from their body, et cetera. Because I think the main rebuttal is like, oh, it's just the stress. But again, we have women in very stressful situations, whether it's poverty or abusive relationships, or women who, you know, God forbid, get pregnant under, you know, abuse or rape, and they get pregnant. So is it really about the stress? And I think that's really dismissive when we tell very healthy women, it's like, oh, it's probably your lifestyle. You're just so stressed about reading labels. It's like, no, this has become a normal part of my life. My threshold for stress is actually much higher because this is now part of my life. So, and then we can't, and then at the same time, we don't say the same for women who are getting pregnant in very stressful situations, you know? So what is this? So I think my theory that I've kind of come up with, and of course, men are 50% of the picture. You know, the first thing that we did after a couple months of trying with no, you know, with no pregnancy test, like no positive pregnancy, was my husband got tested, like immediately did a sperm analysis. And we found out so much from that. And what we found out is that for someone like me, I've been working on my preconception health for 2 years. My husband, although he's been taking, you know, just a pretty much a multivitamin, a couple beef organs, there was a lot of holes in his nutrition that were essentially damaging either the motility or the morphology. And another thing that I kind of figured out was that a woman's egg has a filtration system. So the healthier the egg, the healthier this filtration system is, which means that you're essentially going to have a pickier egg. So women who are unhealthier it feels as if you're unhealthier, this filtration system doesn't work as well, or it's not as picky. So it's going to be easier to fertilize a sperm that maybe doesn't have the best motility or doesn't have the best morphology or whatever that case may be. So it almost seems that the healthier you get as a female, if your husband isn't or your partner isn't 100% in line with his health either, it's going to cause the super picky egg to not want to pick that sperm. And again, this is just like a theory that I've had, but if we look at just the way that the egg works and how naturally smart our bodies are, it's like the one thing that makes sense, that it almost makes sense that two unhealthier people can conceive easier than maybe some a partnership where one is healthier than the other, especially the woman, since she's the one kind of like, it's like an airport, like you're going to have that, you know, that security detection, and it's going to say, oh, not quite, something else, and you have to try again next month. So again, there's not a lot of research on this, but if we look at the way that the egg works and how the sperm works and just overall health, this seems to be, like, for me, the most logical answer that gives me a little bit more peace, because it tells me that it's not, like, women are doing so much already, like, in the wellness space for our health. And it just makes me want to encourage men to, like, really hop on board as much as they possibly can. And I'm very lucky that my husband's like, let's do it all. Like, he has a whole supplement routine, and he already takes care of himself so much. But we really have to think, like, what is this perfect harmony that, and also, you know, timing and God, all those other things at play. So, yeah, that's really been my theory. But I feel like that's the thing that makes the most sense, especially if it's not considered a health marker. And it's like, okay, so, like, what else, you know?
And it's crazy to think, because one, we just don't have a lot of education, like you said, surrounding like preconception for women. But people also forget, like, the baby is half the man, and nobody thinks literally, like, oh, maybe my husband or my partner should be, you know, taking some supplements, doing some testing. Like, nobody thinks about the guy. It's always just on the mom.
Yeah.
And like, people are mind blown when I like sometimes people mention or message me and ask for like recommendations on what I would do if I was trying to conceive. And when I mention their partner, they're like, oh my God, I never thought of having him take stuff too. But I'm like, that's half the baby. Like,
a lot of pressure on the women too. It's a lot of pressure. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, like, for me, it's like, I don't even see it as like 50-50. I literally see it as 100%, 100%. Like, it's 100% of your husband's DNA and 100% of your DNA to create a new 100%. Like, that's really how I think about it. And I just think, yeah, if we're not, like, it's just crazy to me that so, like, and especially sperm health contributes to so much when it comes to even pregnancy and postpartum. Like, it literally contributes to the placenta. And we see so many women that struggle with placental issues during pregnancy and postpartum, and we never look at the man, you know, because even with IVF, if we really want to talk about, like, even that, if people go down that route, which I have nothing against IVF, but if it was as simple as getting the sperm into the egg, why isn't IVF 100% successful?
So true.
Like, why aren't we asking that question? Because it's not, you're literally giving the ideal hormones. So if it isn't about that, we have to just think, like, the egg is so much smarter than science. And if you do not, if you have an egg that is much healthier, it has all the hormones, has all the nutrients, but the DNA of that sperm is not exactly what she is looking for, guess what? You're not going to have a healthy pregnancy. So we focused a lot. And I think, you know, there's been, you know, a little bit light at the end of the tunnel when it came to our fertility journey. And, you know, I always think that I've been put in this position and struggling with health problems my whole life to, you know, dig deeper and help people figure out their own health. So I think this is just like another thing that I'm struggling with to kind of hopefully help other women really figure it out and really take the pressure off of themselves and work more as a team. Because, you know, I'm not sure if you've experienced this, Jordan, but it can become very isolating. You feel like, what's wrong with you? And why isn't this happening for you? And all your friends are becoming pregnant. It seems so easy for everybody. And the man just doesn't feel that type of pressure a lot of the time. Yeah, of course, my husband's sad that we're not pregnant yet. But he doesn't feel that pressure of like, what's wrong with me? You know, I'm doing all these things for my health. And it's like, you know, no. So I think now that that's been put into play, we have a little bit more of that connection of like, we really are a team trying to create, you know, our next team member.
Yeah.
You know?
I think even before, like I even mentioned to my husband, like, hey, like we need to work on your part too. I like almost kind of resented him. I'm like, I'm doing all this stuff, but like, he just didn't, I mean, he didn't know, right? Like most men don't know, most women don't know that the men do play a big role too. So yeah, it's a team effort in a lot of ways, always.
Yeah.
So I resonate so much with you when you post about, well, one, I think our personalities are very similar in just like the, I don't give a shit attitude. If you don't agree with me or you know, just like the hate you can get on your page sometimes. But I really like when you talk about like relationships or friendships that no longer serve you once you did your emotional and like physical healing journey. Can you tell us a little bit about what that looked like? Because I think like for me, it's like, it's so weird to become this new person. Like I used to be the party girl and I used to go out all the time and had so much with my fun with my friends. And like, I was just the silly, goofy, do whatever girl. And like, I think when I made such a pivotal change in my life, it was like, holy shit, I have like so many people have just naturally dropped off from my life. And not that I don't still love them, but it's just like, you know, you become a completely different person. So you, can you kind of go through your journey with that? Because I think you've touched on that a bit before too.
Yeah, relationships are such a big part of health, you know, because the wrong spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend, friend can really put a damper on your journey and even prevent you from having a successful journey. You know, I remember before I met my husband, I was in a really toxic relationship and there was no way I was going to eat healthier when they just didn't care about their health at all, you know? So after, you know, I broke up with them and really started to pursue this health journey and clean up my diet. And I also gave up alcohol, which is like, if you want to know who your real friends are, give up alcohol. So it was just one of those things where, yeah. So once I gave up alcohol is when, you know, you stop getting invites to places and, you know, people just think that you think you're better than them, which was a weird concept because I'm like, I'm not drinking for me. I'm not drinking because I think I'm better than people. Like, how does that even make sense? But people view you when you start taking care of yourself as someone who is better than you, because maybe they're not making those same choices. And I feel like that can give you insight, you know, into the way that you're treating your body and the things that you're doing and the choices that you are making. But, you know, your lack of a self accountability does not mean that it's my responsibility to make you feel better. And that's always just how I felt about all of my relationships is, you know, I try to obviously be compassionate and I've always been the person to help people. I get texts from people that I haven't spoke to in years and they're like, hey, you know, I'm really struggling with my gut. Like, what should I do? You know, like I'll be the first to give you a whole freaking laundry list of things that you could be doing, shouldn't be doing, etc. But it's like on you to make those choices. And yeah, I think at the beginning, especially stopping alcohol was when I really noticed like a big change in people where you would start getting those comments like, oh, are you going to drink? Oh, well, you're too cool to drink. Like, oh, just have one drink. Or, you know, you not getting invites to places where like the main event was drinking. And it's just funny because like I didn't drink at my bachelorette party. I didn't drink at my wedding. And I was the life of the party, dancing on tables, doing the whole thing. So it's like my personality is the same, but because I don't drink or because I don't eat a certain way anymore, you know, I can't get inside of the club. You know, I can't have fun. I can't do these things. I can't hang out with these people. So it really just made me think about why did people want me around when I drank? You know, was it to make fun of me? Was it to, you know, like me be the entertainment of the night? You know, like what was the actual reason? And it really just made me like really evaluate like who I wanted in my circle. And I went through a couple years of really not having anyone very close to me. Like I have like my friends that I've had, like my best friends that I've had for like years, who've, you know, made switches kind of with me. They're not like definitely not at the same level, but they've made switches with me and they've been very supportive and they've always been my friends. But it's kind of more of like those friends that you thought they were your friends. They were like your college friends or, you know, your adult friends. You're like, oh, like, let's go to a bar. Let's go out for dinner this weekend. Yeah, I went through like a lull of like not really having people, but now I'm at a point where I really stuck to my guns and started doing things that really aligned with me. And I finally can say after a couple of years, I found my tribe and I found, you know, friends who I align with. So I think for people who are maybe in that position right now where you're like, I have nobody and I've lost so many friends to this journey, staying true to yourself will attract the people in your life that are meant to be there every single time.
For sure. Absolutely. And like, I know I believe in God, you believe in God, but it's just like God will, like, if you stick true to yourself and you are a good person, like God will naturally attract these people into your life that are meant to be in your life and shed the people that are not. But the in-between time is absolute torture. Like, I just remember thinking, like, I'm like watching all my old friends go out and have fun. And like, me, the day I realized that I got taken out of the group chat, oh my God, like that, like I will never, that was probably like one of the most painful experiences I've ever had. I could cry about it, but like, it's fine now, but like,
yeah, it sucks.
Just like being a new mom and like realizing like, oh, like did these people not like me for me? And it was like you said, like just because I was the go out girl and I was the fun girl and I was wild and like, it's a hard realization. But like now I think like I have so many fruitful relationships that are like so meaningful and so much more than just like surface level or hey, let's go out and get a drink. Like it's like, you know, it's true friendship. So yeah, if you're in the waiting game, it's absolutely torture, but like once you get to the other side, you'll see how many amazing friendships come from it.
Yeah, it's just that in between mm-hmm. time you just don't know. I mean, it's like the wait, like I think when God puts you in those waiting moments, it's not for mm-hmm. nothing, you know, it's always for something on the other side. And this has just been, I think, it's a trend just in my life when it came to my health and, you know, trying to make better choices and not knowing if those choices will be fruitful and if I will get on the other side. And then when it came to friendships and now with fertility, it's like, I don't think that we're put into these waiting situations for, you know, no reason, you know, like, and I never would obviously think like, where do you make friends as a 30-year-old, you know? Never in my life, but here I am with like, I have at least like 6-7 people now that I could text at any moment to be like, hey, what do you want to do this weekend? Like, I didn't even have that, you know, a year ago. So yeah, I think if anyone's in that position, it happens to unfortunately many of us. And I don't think we talk about it enough, but if you're with people that aren't supporting you in your health journey or any type of journey that you're in, fertility, whatever it may be, you know, it's okay to let go to make room for something else. Yeah.
And one more thing on that. I like that you touched on that because I analyzed for literally years, like, what did I do wrong? Did I say the wrong thing? Did I do the wrong thing? Like, did I make these people feel this way? Like, but like if you know your intentions, like my intentions were never to be like, oh, I'm so much better than you. Or, oh, I'm looking down on you. Like, I have so many skeletons in my closet. Like I will never judge anyone for anything, but it's just, you kind of have to put yourself in like, okay, if I'm true to myself and I know that I never meant harm or foul, it's more so like, what are their projections on me? And is that something like internally that they're dealing with, not because of me? And I think that took me a really long time to like realize that like, it probably wasn't something I did. Maybe it is just how they were perceiving.
Yeah, most of the time it's not. Like if someone's coming from a place of lack, they're going to just think that anyone doing anything remotely successful or like beneficial for themselves is going to be like, oh, you think you're better than me? And it's, yeah, I went through a long phase. I'm sure there's people who still view me like this in my family or my life that just thought I was like this nose in the air, snobby person because I choose to not eat like seed mm-hmm. oils. Like, that's the criteria for being snobby. Like, that's crazy that the bar is in hell at this point, you know? So it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, you have people who just don't have discipline or they're not at that place yet. You know, like there's so many reasons, but that's all self-accountability. You can go back to when I was 20, I didn't have freaking discipline for shit. You know, I was like the least disciplined person. I did whatever I wanted. I ate everything in moderation. I had all the things. I was telling people who ate healthy, like, why don't you just live your life? Like, why don't you just enjoy a cookie? It's not a big deal. Like, that was me. I was the person that I talk shit about now where I'm like, oh my God, these freaking losers who are coming at me about not wanting to eat a cookie. It's like, that was me 100%, you know? And it's hard to convey when people aren't with you in that moment and in that in between. So I think the more that we talk about it and we'll start to realize like how many people deal with this, and it's to kind of really just break the stigma around like wanting to make healthier choices for yourself. Like, yeah, we should be congratulating people that want a better life and want to feel good. Like, why don't we do that? Why is it like this hateful thing? It's like, oh, you think you're so cool. Like, it's
yeah.
So weird.
And it's not even like we're coming from a judgmental place. Like, I would never walk down the street and be like, oh my God, they're getting in their, like, it's not even like we're judging. It's just, we are simply choosing to do something different than what other people are doing. And it's kind of taken as like, oh, they think they're better, when that's not even a thought in my mind. I don't care what anyone's doing as long as it's not affecting me. Like, you know?
Yeah.
And back to the alcohol thing, I feel like it's one of those things Like, I never like declared like, oh, I'm done drinking, you know, it just sort of stopped serving me. It like phased out of my life. But people are like, oh, like, why aren't you drinking? No one says like, why did you quit heroin? You know, it's like alcohol is that one thing that's like so normalized and it's so terrible for us. And so it's like, I didn't have a drinking problem. That's not why I quit. You know, it's like, yeah. Why is that so normalized? It's like eating food dyes and stuff. Like, yeah, kids are jumping off the walls now because of those food dyes. And I'm jumping off the walls because of alcohol. Like, why is that so normal? Yeah.
I know. I hate it. Cause yeah, I was the same way. I can't even tell you like when I exactly quit. I know it was like around 3-ish years ago, but I just like picked up a drink for the last time. And then I was like, oh shit, I haven't drank in like 9 months. That's crazy. You know, it just like, I just kept saying no to it. But I think what I'm realizing, especially on like the other side of social media that loves to hate on us, is there's a lot of accounts on here, whether people perceive it to be like this or not, there's a lot of accounts on here that want people to almost be the worst version of mm-hmm. themselves. Yeah. Like there's no self-accountability to be like it's okay to be morbidly obese. It's okay to drink every single weekend. It's okay to eat whatever you want with no regard to how you feel or how your skin looks or how your gut feels or if you're even pooping every single day. Like there's none of that. So it's like, where does that balance like actually become true balance for health, you know? Like I see it all the time where, you know, you have these like snack accounts or the food freedom accounts and they're downing a bowl of cereal with, like, I just saw a trend the other day with like loaded cereal where they take like Lucky Charms and then they add fruit and then they add protein powder and then they add like all these different things on top because it was a woman who had pregnancy cravings. Nobody, you know, obviously you're not going to see people in the comment section be like, do you think this is nutritionally sound for a growing child? You know, like nobody asks those questions because it's perceived as judging, but it's like we're coming from a place of genuine concern because we have normalized self-sabotage. We have literally normalized it. We've normalized being accepting of people being the worst versions of themselves. We do it even with, you know, emotions too. It's like, oh, the angry uncle in your family, that's just how he is. There's no accountability. There's no telling people, hey, like this is not okay and you're actually hurting yourself. But instead we say, oh, it's judging, oh, it's fear-mongering because we want to put a barrier there for self-accountability. And that's really what I'm realizing in this space is it's so hard to say anything without being called either a fearmonger or that you're just judgmental. It's like there are facts in life when it comes to health, right? Like that's why we have metabolic health. It's like there's like 4 markers to achieve metabolic health, you know? Then we have so many layers beyond that. Like what is gut health? What is emotional health? Like what are all these things? And it's so nuanced. But are we really going to sit here and tell people that you can, you know, break up Pop-Tarts into your cereal and think that this is an okay snack? Like, let's be so for real. Like, I genuinely want people to feel their best because I've mm-hmm. accomplished that. You know, like, I've accomplished a place where, like, I can wake up in the morning and not want to rot in bed for 12 hours anymore, you know? So it's like, you can't say shit anymore to anybody. It's become so like, oh my God, don't judge me. Like, it's just everything in moderation. Like, I'm allowed to have this one time. It's like, girl, that's in everything. Like that sucralose that you're having one time and is in 12 products that you eat every single day. What are we doing here? You know? And I don't want to be part of coddling people just so they can consume the products that they feel like they can consume, like quote unquote, mm-hmm. once in a while.
Amen. Okay. So you're kind of like a Jill of all trades. Like you do a lot. Like you've got the Live Healthily, which I always tell people it's like Amazon, but for like non-toxic products. Like you can get whatever you want. It's super cool. You have the Minerals and Chill. You've written a children's book. Like you've done it all. So like, can you tell us like what kind of inspired you to do all these things? Like maybe some behind the scenes, like how do you create these things? Like what goes into it?
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, a lot of it is just inspired by like my own journey. Truly. Like when I started Live Healthily, it was because, and I know so many of us can relate, it's like we're being, you know, told buy this and then buy that and buy this and buy this over here. And then, oh, this store only holds this product. And it's like, I really just wanted one place that I could trust. So when I was starting to accumulate a lot of affiliate codes, I just felt like a lot of the feedback that I was getting was that it becomes expensive because they like this protein powder from this fitness place, but then they like this pre-workout from that fitness place, but then they like these supplements. And it forced people to have to pick and choose or just be committed to one brand, which, you know, there's no one brand that's perfect or does it all. You know, like I'm somebody, I use 500 different brands for everything in my house. Like it would be ridiculous if we only all used one brand and people are just so different. So that's why we really got the idea for Live Healthily is, you know, I took all these brands, got a warehouse. Well, after like we packed everything in our guest room, and then we moved into a warehouse and we moved into a bigger warehouse here in Florida. And we started with like 15 SKUs, like 15 different products. And now we have like almost 600 different products from all different brands, which is insane to even think about. And then when it came to Minerals and Chill, I 2 years ago, I was like, quote unquote, diagnosed, like loosely diagnosed with HPA axis dysfunction or adrenal fatigue. And I was given like pretty much a prescription, loosely prescription, to drink more adrenal mocktails, which is like coconut water, orange juice, and a little bit of Celtic sea salt. And it just became a lot to drink that every single day. Orange juice has a lot of sugar in it, you know, if you're not wanting to drink that first thing in the morning. And then I'd be like at my office just being like, there's no way I'm bringing my orange juice, my coconut water, my salt to the office. So I was like, you know, there should be a better version. And there was like one other brand that I saw that I tried and it just tasted not good at all. So I was like, you know, there should be an easier way. So I just wanted to create a version of that that just tasted better with clean ingredients that I can just take on the go. So both of those projects were based off of my own personal experience. And I also feel very passionate about not contributing to an already overly saturated market. So I knew that I could have easily started my own product line 3 years ago, but I was already working with so many amazing brands that don't have, you know, they can't get into Whole Foods yet because they're so small. And I wanted Live Healthily to kind of be that platform instead of just me creating my own protein and my own pre-workout and my own this and my own that. So when I thought of Minerals and Chill, it was because I couldn't find something on the market, you know, like I didn't want to just create something to create something. I wanted, you know, to create a product that made sense that wasn't readily available. And then my children's book is always funny because obviously I don't have children yet. So people are like, why the hell would you write a children's book when you don't have kids? But the main reason is because a lot of my followers are moms, you know, like I am 30. So I'm at that demographic where a lot of people around me are moms. And I always get the question, like, how do you teach your children to eat fruits and vegetables without telling them, like, this is just what you do, like, eat it, like, you know, just whatever. And as a health coach, you know, we're always taught how to introduce lifestyle habits in a really just sustainable way without giving like medical advice. And it's funny because I was literally at Barnes & Noble and I was trying to kind of do like a rundown of books about health or like for children. And I literally could not find any. I did find a children's book about junk food, which was very interesting, about eating junk food. I think I took a picture of it. And I'm like, this is so shocking to me that there isn't just a book for children, like ages 2 to 7, to teach them about the benefits of eating your fruits and vegetables. So I just wanted to create it. It was more of a passion project. And I wrote it in my Google note, like my Google notes or whatever. And I sent it to my mom and my mom's like, you literally need to publish this. I was going to just print one version for when I had kids. And she's like, no, you need to make this a reality. And my husband actually used to work in printing, which is so ironic and serendipitous. And then he figured out how to do like put the book together, the type of paper and the colors that you use and stuff. I found an illustrator and then, yeah, we just made it happen. So yeah, everything that I do, I try to be super intentional. But yeah, the children's book was like not meant to be. It was supposed to just be something that I wrote for like funsies, and maybe even just like make it an ebook to like give people. But I thought it'd be cool to just make like a book. So yeah, I did it. It's crazy.
It is really cool. I mean, like you literally do everything. You're even like a fashionista too. Like you do everything. I'm like, she's so badass.
I do like interior design and like event planning too. But I'm like, I just do so many fucking things. Like that's, let me just, can I enjoy something in private, please? You know, like not
everything. Wedding was like insane. Like I loved following all of that. That was so cool. I'm like, I wish I was there. I just want to be there and just watch. I don't need to be a part of it.
I know. Maybe I'll have another one and I'll invite all my like new like Instagram friends.
Redo. Right.
Redo another one.
Thanks. Well, thank you so much for joining us. This was amazing. I know a lot of people are going to take away some really good insight from you. And where can you tell everybody where they can find you and your website one more time?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram and TikTok at Healthfully. You can find my website at livehealthfully.com. And that's where I have my book, all my products, and like over 50 something brands that you could choose from that are super clean and amazing.
Hey, well, thank you so much. Yeah, go ahead.
The Minerals and Chill is fire. I drink it every day. I have it on subscription. I feel it actually, side note, not to keep this podcast going longer, but it actually raised my progesterone. My levels were literally tanked to zero, all of my levels. It brought me right to the middle. And that was the only thing that I had changed in my supplement routine was adding the Minerals and Chill. So,
you know, it's crazy, again, not to make this longer than it has to be, but like when I created Minerals and Chill, it wasn't like, I didn't know about all those mm-hmm. connections. But because we started getting reviews about people's periods being better, I'm like, mm-hmm. let me look into this. Actually, I know it was really weird. Like I didn't know that was a thing that was happening. And I was personally taking Minerals and Chill for like months before we launched it, of course, because I like had my own stash. And my progesterone levels last year were at 0.9. And actually, if we'll do like the actual like serum level, which was like 112. And then I was taking it for, I guess it would be like 8 months. And now it's at 1200, which is within, so I went from 112 to like around like 1200 to 1400, which is like right within range, like optimal range, because I wasn't even in optimal range at all. And then I found that a study that said around like vitamin C can increase progesterone by 77%, which is insane. And then also the adrenals, which create cortisol, too much cortisol blocks progesterone. So it's like all these like little connections that I started finding, and I'm like, oh my God, Minerals and Chill is actually really good for progesterone production. And then I just kind of like rode that for a little bit because I saw it in myself. I was seeing it in other people. So it's like always interesting to hear like how like vitamin C, I feel like, is so mm-hmm. slept on. Like we only think about it for immune health, but it has so many other benefits because it's an antioxidant. So it's like helping with inflammation and stress, obviously. So yeah, it's just like my little fun fact that I found by accident.
Yeah, Mary Kate drinks them every episode, I think. She's been like, oh, Minerals and Chill, Minerals and Chill.
Oh my God.
Shout out.
I love that.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And everybody look forward to the next episode.
Bye, guys.
Bye.